The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron. Makes his decision on his way to Green Bay. You need to know everything, so we've got Shefty right off the top. Then, another Aaron joining an exclusive club. Is it possible he is actually the GOAT and we're just not paying enough attention? And then, the big move is on. We'll tell you why yesterday might have been the most important in the history of college football. All that and a whole lot more as we get up with you, starting right now. Today is the day we have been waiting a long time for. It is the day that NFL training camps across the country open, including that of the Green Bay Packers. And that is where a lot of the conversation will be situated today. Dan Orlovsky is ready. Mike Tannenbaum is ready. And, of course, Shefty, with all the information you need right here off the top as the Packers open their training camp today. And Aaron Rodgers has arrived in Green Bay. His plane arriving during the night, you see it there with the cameras all over the place watching. The Packers and Rodgers seem to have agreed upon terms that are close to persuading Rodgers to return to play for the Packers this season. But everything does not seem to be completely done. The man who knows all is Adam Schefter. And so, Schefty, I will give you the floor. What is the latest now on Rodgers' return?
Listen, Aaron Rodgers felt good enough to fly to Green Bay to get this deal done. But the deal as of right now, Greeny, still is not done. Essentially, the parameters of the deal are agreed to, but Aaron Rodgers still wants to see some things, be assured of some things. And again, he wouldn't have flown in if he didn't think it was getting done. But the Packers are scheduled to be on the field tomorrow for the first time. And the expectation right now is that Aaron Rodgers will be there. Again, some business for the two sides to wrap up today before he gets back on the field tomorrow. And really, if you go back 1 week ago, the sense and belief was that Aaron Rodgers was not planning to be there this week and maybe stretch it even into this season. But over the course of the weekend, talks between the Green Bay Packers and the Aaron Rodgers camp intensified to the point where the Packers agreed to make a number of concessions that were enough to bring Aaron Rodgers back to Green Bay last night. And when we look at all the concessions that they laid out for him, they essentially voided the last year of his contract in 2023. They promised not to franchise tag him at that point in time. They will clear up salary cap room this year. There are mechanisms that'll be in place to help his departure. And when we look at the list of concessions to him, Greeny, really, the truth of the matter is the biggest concession that was made to Aaron Rodgers had nothing to do with money and had everything to do with the fact that Aaron Rodgers will have the freedom to choose where he wants to play in 2022, despite the fact that there is another year on the deal after this year, because they could not have cut off that year and made this the last year in the contract. Because what would have happened then is Aaron Rodgers could have left Green Bay without them getting the chance to trade him. He could have walked away without any compensation going to Green Bay. The Packers wanted to preserve the rights of the reigning NFL MVP, and so that's what they did. Now they can trade him after the season if that's what Aaron Rodgers wants, which you figure it probably would be unless they have some magical season, change his mind, change his thinking. But yes, that's how it all transpired and unfolded. It was a market departure from where the two sides were last week. And now they will see if they can get it all wrapped up today, which is the sense, but not there yet.
And to be clear, so that would mean that after this season, Rodgers would not become a free agent. They would still have his rights, but they would agree that they would move him. I mean, I was following all of your tweets yesterday, and essentially what Rodgers wanted was control of where he would be in 2022. And you are saying that one way or another, he is getting that in this agreement.
He gets to dictate where he goes. That is correct. And the Green Bay Packers, I think, will have some say as well, but there is language in there, if and when this deal gets done, that will enable Aaron Rodgers to be traded after this season, if that's what he wants. Now, again, he's going back to Green Bay for the season, and the Packers will have the chance to show him that things can be different, that they want him around. Maybe they can do that in 4 months. I am skeptical of that, but we'll see. Stranger things have happened. And so, yes, that would be the situation and arrangement, as it were, that if Aaron Rodgers wanted to play the 2022 season in Anchorage, Alaska, or Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or wherever he wanted to play, the Packers then essentially have agreed to honor his wishes after this season.
Okay, and that would really be a story. All right, let me bring in the guys here. We got Mike Tannenbaum and Dan Orlovsky ready to go. I know everyone has a million thoughts and a million questions. Orlovsky, go. What's on your mind right this second?
Well, hearing that information from Shefty, it does sound a lot like the Tom Brady leaving Patriots situation 2 years ago. It's just not labeled as being a free agent, really. I mean, Aaron's going to have the opportunity to sit back and go, you know what? I am going to come back and play here in 2022, or go, you know what, I want to leave somebody else. And it just protects the Packers from him just walking out of their building and having the ability to get some form of compensation for him. The interesting thing is, like, Aaron said repeatedly through this offseason that there wasn't necessarily, like, issues with the team. It was issues with people within the building. Like, in his words, he said it's about the people, and the people remain the same. And so I don't know what that organization can prove to him over the next 6, 7, 8 months, because the people are the same. And I love the saying, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And given what has transpired, like, nothing changed. And that's the crazy thing for me to sit here and go, what happened? Because nothing is different than it was 3 months ago.
All right, Shefty, I'm told you have something new. Go.
Well, I want to just point out before Mike goes that essentially these feelings have built up over time, just like he has never forgotten the fact of what happened on draft day. And you don't just forget things that unfolded over years of time. They're not undone. Just think about any couple in a long-term relationship. If somebody feels wronged over a certain period of time, or somebody has certain things done to him, he doesn't all of a sudden forget that, even if there are a special 4 months. So again, I think it's fair to expect that after this year, that this could very well be their last season together, and that Aaron Rodgers likely will be moving on after this season.
All right, Mike Tannenbaum, your thoughts.
I'm very skeptical. I want to see the details as a former GM, because on August 4th, 2019, Tom Brady redid his contract with the New England Patriots that made him a free agent at the end of the season. They couldn't franchise him. They couldn't transition him. Reportedly, based on what Adam is saying, that is not the case here, and we need to see the details, because what happens next year if Green Bay wakes up and says, hey, you know what? We changed our mind. We're not going to trade you. What happens if Mark Murphy retires? What happens if Brian Gutekunst moves on for whatever reason? A million things could happen. So until we see the contract, I am skeptical about what this quote-unquote compromise is. And my other point is, I have been in this situation multiple times in my career where a player has a year left or feels like they're going to be leaving, and that season doesn't go great because they're just not as committed. They're just not as focused. We saw it last year. I'm not saying this is Jalen Ramsey. I'm not saying that. We know that Michael Thomas was upset in New Orleans. He just had voluntary surgery in June. Obviously, that situation bears watching. And all I'm saying is, if he has a bump in the road, if he gets nicked up during the season, is it going to be the same level of focus that we're used to seeing with Aaron Rodgers?
Jeffy? Yeah.
And I think, Mike, I think when they get this contract finalized, I would think, I don't know this, but I would think that there would be some sort of provision in that deal that allows for them to trade him somehow, some way. I would think that the Packers have given indications that they're willing to do that. That's what the other side wants. We'll see how it's actually formulated, if it's formulated in a contract, but I would think that there'd be some sort of provision in there that basically specifies what we're talking about here.
And the biggest difference to me, Shefty, is to the point that Mike Tannenbaum just made. Tom Brady negotiated a deal in which he would become a free agent. That means he got to choose where he went, and that team didn't have to give up anything, any of its future, in order to get him. This feels to me like the opposite on both fronts. Rodgers may have a say in where he goes. He may, in fact, even be able to choose. Let's just use Denver as a placeholder here. He wants to go to Denver. If the Broncos know that, why are they trading anything of value to the Packers? It will give you a fifth-round pick for Aaron Rodgers. This all feels very, very confusing to me, Shefty.
Well, it's not clean And it's not a clear breakup the way it was in New England with Tom Brady, that he could just become a free agent. And there are things that they're working out. And that's why I think this agreement is as complex and layered as it is, because the language has to be a certain way and the league doesn't allow certain things to be put into writing. So they're trying to figure this out. And again, it's a tough thing to envision right now without seeing it, but it is not clear and delineated how it's going to work, other than to say, like I'm telling you, that I believe Aaron Rodgers is expected to have the freedom to choose where he'll want to play in 2022. Don't know exactly how that's going to happen. Don't know exactly how it unfolds, but I don't know that Aaron Rodgers would have been willing to come back to Green Bay were it under any other circumstance than the ones that we're talking about right here.
And Orlovsky, let me ask you about what Mike Tannenbaum just brought up. He brought up the concern that a player who knows he's leaving after 1 year might not have the same level of commitment or whatever else it is. From a football standpoint, assuming this gets done today, as Shefty is suggesting it might, and we all think now it feels like it's headed that way, what impact do you think this has on that football team's ability to win a Super Bowl this year?
They're a championship roster. They're no longer a championship team. And there's a big difference. This is still a very talented football team, but the distraction of this whole offseason, and this is going to continue to be a distraction. I mean, think about being in that building and this football team starting 0-2 or 1-3 or going through a two-game losing streak. The eggshells that they're going to be walking around and going, okay, is the quarterback ticked off? Like, that is going to be an issue week after week, and that's why I don't think that they are a championship football team. I don't question Aaron's commitment. I think he's still going to be an absolute rock star. I just don't see how they can handle all this stuff through this locker room, coaches, front office people, everybody, and sit there and go, we are a championship football team. Camaraderie is the biggest part of that, and I don't think it's there anymore.
As a guy who's thrown 99 touchdowns and 11 interceptions over the last 3 seasons. All right, hold this thought. We have so much more on this. We're also going to go live to Green Bay in this hour, so we will have much more on this story. Meanwhile, he's not the only Aaron we're talking about today. Aaron Donald hasn't played a snap this year and is already being honored. Is it possible we're not giving him enough respect? And then history was made yesterday, but the jury's out on whether or not it was good news. Why the defection will have enormous impact throughout all of college sports. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Are you ready for the beaches? Are you ready for the weekend?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by USAA Insurance, auto, renters, and home insurance. And so again, all week long here on ESPN, we are unveiling the coveted player ratings for the video game Madden NFL 22. And every day here on Get Up, we will reveal a new member of the 99 Club reserved exclusively for the players who earn the top rating in the game, a 99 overall. And for the second spot in that club, we have a man who you could argue is the best player in the entire National Football League. Here's Laura Rutledge.
Question. Which NFL player has had the most sacks over the last 5 seasons?
99 with the sack, and the Rams are going home with the win.
That would be the guy with 99 printed on his chest.
Aaron Donald rips into the turf and jumps on the football.
His pass rush win rate was the highest among interior defenders last year, racking up 13 and a half sacks and 54 first pressures. That's the most in the league.
At midfield, does it again.
He won the Defensive Player of the Year award 3 of the last 4 seasons.
Aaron Donald forced the fumble. And Donald and the Rams take over.
And also happens to be the longest tenured member of the Madden 99 Club. For the 7th season in a row, welcome back, Aaron Donald.
And so when they sent me that yesterday, just one question jumped into my head, and I just wanted to spend a minute on it here with the guys. Dan Orlovsky, we talk a lot about the GOAT, right? I mean, Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time. Is Patrick Mahomes going to be the greatest quarterback of all time? Is Aaron Donald the greatest defensive tackle of all time?
Absolutely. Aaron Donald is the Randy Moss of defensive tackles. I mean, I remember Randy Moss just completely changing the game and the way that people saw how you could play defense against him. And that's what Aaron Donald's done. Okay, great. We're going to put like two people on Aaron Donald. It doesn't matter. Well, we'll slide our offensive line that way. It doesn't matter. And you would catch yourself, and I did this all the time, we would be watching tape of Aaron Donald trying to get ready for a game, and you would slowly transition from, okay, we got to get ready or our plan ready to being like, hey, just watch this guy. Like, did you guys see this play by Aaron Donald? Like, you're not supposed to do that when you're preparing for opponent. Aaron Donald's the best defensive tackle ever.
Yeah, I'm not sure who generally gets that. I mean, Mike T, Joe Green, Warren Sapp, I'm not sure who was considered the greatest defensive tackle of all time prior to this, but is it now Aaron Donald amongst the people who make their living in this stuff?
Well, Greeny, I challenge my inner Sal Palantonio, and I have texted with Coach Parcells this morning. And not only is Coach Parcells a Hall of Fame coach, but he's a football historian. And according to Coach, it's Merlin Olsen. He made 14 Pro Bowls in his career, 14. So taking nothing away from Aaron Donald and his greatness, agree with Dan said, I'm going to go with Merlin Olsen just in deference to Coach Parcells.
He was also an outstanding actor. I mean, Merlin Olsen is he unquestionably won more acting Emmys than Aaron Donald has to this point. We'll see where that goes. Dan, after the show, I'll tell you who Merlin Olsen was.
Thank you.
Anyway, I can invite you to tune into SportsCenter and NFL Live for exclusive Madden ratings. And don't miss First Take as Alex Smith, Marshawn Lynch, and several of your favorite former players join every day to debate the ratings. It's Madden Ratings Reveal Week all across ESPN. Meanwhile, let me go back to Shefty, who definitely remembers Merlin Olsen. Let's run the hurry up through a bunch of NFL stories here, Shefty, and let's start with Michael Thomas. What is going on with him? Oh, I'm told that, did we lose Shefty? Is that what you're telling me here? I'm a little confused. We do have him. Okay, fair enough. So am I told that we have news on Deshaun Watson, Adam Schefter? Go ahead, take it away.
No, we don't have Deshaun. We don't have news on Deshaun Watson.
No.
We're talking about Deshaun Watson.
Fair
There's
enough.
A lot of news to go around every day, Greeny. Essentially, Deshaun Watson is in a situation where teams around the league and the Houston Texans, there's been a dance been going on. There's been conversations that have been had, but the Houston Texans have not gotten down to where they have fielded offers from other teams. Still, as of this morning, they still have not reached out to other teams to say, what's your best offer? And obviously, that's a football standpoint. There's the legal standpoint and the 22 civil lawsuits that are hanging over this entire situation and issue with Deshaun Watson, which obviously complicates the football side of things. There's a legal side of things, which is going to unfold over the course of weeks and months. And then there's the football side. And now that we're at training camp and the Texans are scheduled to begin practicing tomorrow, they have to make some decisions here about Deshaun Watson, who doesn't want to be there with a team that seems to have moved on from him. And so everybody's waiting to see how the team and Deshaun Watson handle this. But I can tell you, as of this morning, significant trade discussions have yet to begin between the Texans and other teams.
It's such a complicated situation for all of the reasons that Shefty just enumerated. So, Mike Tannenbaum, again, with your lengthy experience as a general manager, walk me through what you imagine is going on right now behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's a complicated situation, but if I'm another team, I am calling Houston all the time. I'm checking in to see what it would take to trade for Deshaun Watson if and when he's eligible. It may include something like a conditional pick this year if he plays, let's say, 75% more of the snaps in 2021. We would give 3 first-round picks. If we would acquire him and he doesn't play this year, obviously the value would go down. So I am talking to my owner, I'm talking to my head coach, but most importantly, I am calling Nick Caserio all the time, Greeny, to make sure he knows that we are at the top of the list. And one other dynamic that's really important here, if we go back to 2010, Ben Roethlisberger was suspended for 6 games for the violation of the personal conduct policy without any criminal charges. So even if, and it's a big if Deshaun Watson ever settles the criminal situation, he is still very much in play for a suspension by the commissioner.
Yeah, and there is as we've seen in many cases before, there's really no way of gauging what a timetable on that may look like. And so the teams don't know that because the league doesn't know that. Dan Orlovsky, what do you think?
Yeah, I want to take everyone inside the locker room, Greeny, because I just want to be candid about the situation. I think the most important thing, if I was a player in a locker room that was entertaining going to trade for Deshaun Watson, I would hope and pray that my organization got all the information that they could. Because you'd rather be late than early to this party because the allegations are what they are. And I would hope that as a person in a locker room, a man who's married, I've got a daughter, like I'd hope that they covered all their bases and got all the information necessary. And then I would hope and pray that we've got a head coach that can handle the situation and a front office that can handle the situation and leadership in our locker room that can handle what potentially just from a media situation would come along with that, from a PR situation. You better have the right people within your organization to handle everything that could potentially come with Deshaun Watson in a trade, depending on what happens with all the off-the-field allegations.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's a football story that's about a lot more than football. We'll have more on that as we continue, but we do have really big breaking news from the Olympics to share this morning as well. Just within the last hour, American gymnastics superstar Simone Biles is out of the team competition with what is being called an injury. Biles changed her more complicated vault midair to a more simple 1.5, but still landed awkwardly in so doing. She then consulted with medical staff and left the floor. She received the lowest vault score of her career. This is a developing story, which we will update as needed. But again, Simone Biles, perhaps the best known athlete of all of the American stars in Tokyo, out at least from the team competition. As we continue, our top story of the day, Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay. Devontae Adams, his tune has changed as a result. What is the scene like at the training camp? We will go live there in just a few moments to bring you the very latest. And we have this today from Sneaky Hembo for Orlovsky. Who is the only quarterback to win a Super Bowl as the starter and then play for a different team the following season? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and Hembo is ready for you, Orlovsky. Here's the question. Who's the only quarterback to win a Super Bowl as the starter and then play for a different team the following season?
So I sat here and I was like, oh, it's Trent Dilfer, Baltimore, Elvis Gerback. But then I realized I'm married to a girl from Philly. Hembo's from Philly. And it's got to be Saint Nick, Nick Foles.
Oh, my goodness. You talked yourself out of the right answer. It was Trent Dilfer. Foles came back after they won the Super Bowl. Remember, he took over for Wentz again and played well in the playoffs. And Alshon Jeffrey dropped the pass. Dan, you lived all of this with us.
I'm an idiot. This is what happens when you're an idiot. I'm an idiot, Hembo.
That's correct.
I'm an idiot.
Okay.
Golly, dude.
He talked himself out of the right answer. Meanwhile, we go in search of other answers today as Aaron Rodgers has arrived in Green Bay. That much we know. The Packers and Rodgers have mutually agreed upon some terms that are close, it seems, to persuading Rodgers to return to play for Green Bay this season. But the I's are not yet dotted, nor the T's crossed. And we've been talking about that with Shefty all morning long. And so I want to bring in Rob Domofsky, who's covered the Packers forever, and joins us live here this morning. How do you put all of this into perspective as you are there today for the players to report to training camp?
Yeah, Greeny, it's unprecedented, really. Even the Brett Favre situation in 2008 was different. The best thing that they could have hoped for in this situation was for this to get resolved, or at least on the way to being resolved, before camp started. And it looks like, according to Shefty's report, that that's true. It sure didn't look like this back in April when the initial news broke. didn't look like this in May when he skipped the OTAs, and it certainly didn't look like it in June when he skipped the mandatory minicamp and was officially considered a holdout. But players are arriving here today, some of them already here early this morning. There's a team meeting around noon. Rodgers being in the building for that would signify that they are basically close to getting this thing done, and it may be done before they hit the field tomorrow.
Okay, so that's noon Central time, so that's certainly something to keep an eye out for. Meantime, what are you hearing regarding the unique nature of this arrangement between Rodgers and the team?
Yeah, shortly after the word had kind of spread around the league, one longtime personnel executive sent me a text and he said, "Welcome to the NBA." What he meant by that was that essentially we're in an age now where a star player, one of Aaron Rodgers' caliber, can sort of dictate things. He also said, quote, "It's bigger than the team, I guess. It looks like it's a one-year deal, and trade him." Now, the Packers have insisted that they're committed to Rodgers for 2021 and beyond. Mark Murphy reiterated that yesterday at the shareholders meeting. But at this point, the ball appears to be in Rodgers' court after this season.
All right. And then finally, as best as you can tell, and again, you've been around not just the team, but the community for a very long time. Where does the fan base seem to fall in on all of this right now?
Yeah, there was a smattering of boos yesterday at their shareholders meeting when Mark Murphy, the president, and Brian Gutekunst took the stage. Those boos obviously directed at them. It's also worth noting that the loudest cheer, Greeny, yesterday at the shareholders meeting came when general manager Brian Gutekunst was going through the 2020 season highlights, and he mentioned Aaron Rodgers winning the MVP for the third time. So while there are some people that appear to be upset with the way Rodgers has handled this, it looks like he will have the support of most fans, if not all of them, when he does come back.
All right, and assuming that he doesn't miss any games, there's no obvious reason why that should change, I wouldn't think. Rob Domofsky, excellent. Again, we'll be checking back with you as the day continues. So again, it sounds like noon Central time, 1 o'clock Eastern time, will be a moment to watch closely here. Shefty, I'll come back to you again as you are the one with the story here. What, if anything, should we be telling the fans now as we hear that there's a team meeting today, noon Central time? Obviously not mandatory that Rodgers be at that, but we'll see.
Well, up until this point, Greeny, really, it couldn't have gone better the last 24, 48 hours for the Packers and their fans because Aaron Rodgers has landed in Green Bay. The local TV station there captured him landing in the early morning hours, flying back to Green Bay, which about a week ago, I can tell you, a lot of people thought would not be the case, that he would not be taking part in training camp. But over the weekend, the two sides were able to put aside some of their differences and essentially put into place an agreement in principle that still has not been finalized. They still need to finalize that deal today before Aaron Rodgers is going to show back up to work, I believe. Now, there's no anticipation or expectation that it won't get done, but again, until it's done, it's not done, and it's not fully done right now. But Aaron Rodgers felt comfortable enough with where the two sides were at to fly back to Green Bay. The Packers were smart enough to make a number of concessions to him to lure him back to Green Bay for this upcoming season. And of all the concessions that Aaron Rodgers got, including the fact that he can't be tagged again, the fact that the last year of his contract was voided, the fact that there'll be more cap room created under his deal while he doesn't take any loss of money, really the single biggest concession that they've given him is they've given him the ability to play where he wants in 2022. He will have that freedom. He wants to stay in Green Bay, then he can do that. If he wants to move on and get traded, he'll be able to do that. But the contract will have 2 years left, and it'll have 2 years left as opposed to just one, so that the Packers will have the ability to be able to get something back for Rodgers if and when they trade him after this season.
I have a bunch of questions, but I can see the look on your face, Mike T. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the same questions. If we go back to what Rob Domofsky talked about the NBA, all those players had short contracts. Kevin Durant, LeBron James, they were able to go from team to team because they were free agents. Tom Brady, when he changed his contract on August 4th, 2019, he shorted his contract. I still need to see the details because if he's under contract for 2022, he's not a free agent. And what would prohibit Green Bay from changing his mind? So we have to see what the details of this contract say, because until he's a free agent, Green Bay still has a meaningful say in what happens to Aaron Rodgers' future.
So there's all of that. Shefty, can I ask you one other thing, too? Because I saw in the reporting yesterday, where are we on the Davante Adams of this all? The two of them posting that Last Dance picture or the mutually the other day, and now they open up cap space, and Davante Adams, another one who has only 1 year left on his contract. Where do we stand with that?
Well, the Packers can go to Davante Adams again if they so choose, but Davante Adams also is now in the last year of his contract. He'll know that Aaron Rodgers essentially could very well be playing his last season in Green Bay. And you see the simultaneous social media posts from last weekend of The Last Dance. I actually think last weekend they may have been referring to last season. Greeny, there's no way of actually proving that. And I think that the fact is that they'll get to do another Last Dance this season with Adams being on the last year of his deal and Rodgers potentially playing his last season in Green Bay. And so there is another Last Dance in Green Bay when I think the two men both thought there was a real chance that that might have been last season, but you get the idea. Last Dance last season, Last Dance this season, whenever it is, they're on the clock and time is ticking away.
The 98 Bulls, and everyone saw it in Last Dance, the 98 Bulls, they all knew it was their last year together. They went into it knowing that. Phil Jackson, the coach, knew it. Scottie Pippen knew it. Michael Jordan knew it. So that there would be a parallel here, assuming that Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers both plan to be one and done, if you will, with Green Bay. Dan Orlovsky, go.
I feel like Shefty just gave us like the Cliff Notes version of the movie Gone Girl. And like Aaron is Amy, you know, and he's gone away. And we're all like blaming the Packers for everything that's happened. All of a sudden, at the end, he comes back. He's like, you can't go on without me. This feels like a huge swing and miss by Rodgers in his camp. It just does. Like, I know we continue to throw around the word concession, but like, it doesn't seem like there has been a ton from the Packers other than saying, hey, we'll look at it again next year. And I said this to Mike T the other day, like, the Packers get to eat their cake and have it too. Like, does that make sense?
You want to, no.
You know, whatever the saying is. Like,
right.
They get to take the young quarterback, they get to groom the young quarterback, and keep the MVP of the league on the same team you want your cake to eat it to. Yeah, so they get to do that as an organization. And that just to me seems like a huge win by Green Bay. And I know that Shefty continues to bring up the point of like he gets to determine where he plays next year. So what happens if he goes to him and said, I want to go play in Minnesota? I want to go play with those two receivers. Like, are the Packers going to trade him in division? Like, how much say does he actually get?
No, I think, Dan, there's going to be certain stipulations about certain places he's not going to be able to go. I don't believe that ultimately he's going to be allowed to go play or choose a team in the NFC North. Not that that's going to happen. I think that there'll be a certain understanding. And my guess would be that he'll probably be dealt at a conference in the end if that's what he wants. Look, again, he's not going to have 100% say, but he's going to be able to dictate where he gets to play in 2022.
That's the point. It's that little nebulous. I understand Orlovsky's questions. You know, like either you have the, you know, contracts are pretty simple at the end of the day, Mike T. Right, and you've made your life in them. They either say it or they don't. Like either you can go wherever you want to go, or we still have some control over the situation. And the devil is always in the details. So until we see the details, this will be fascinating to see where it lands.
That's exactly right. And ironically, if we go back to 2008, as Rob Domofsky alluded to, at the Jets, we were able to get Brett Favre because as much as Brett Favre and the Packers were at loggerheads, and ironically, it was about getting Aaron Rodgers on the field from the Packers standpoint, they were not going to trade Brett Favre to the NFC. And that's one of the reasons we were able to get Brett, convince him to come to the Jets, was that he didn't want to be there. They didn't want him there anymore, but there was no way they were going to trade him to a team in the NFC. And we were able to take advantage of that opportunity. So as much as they're upset with each other, they're going to have to work together next offseason.
All right, fascinating. Again, Shefty continuing to work the phones, and we'll get all the details as this thing comes in. In the meantime, training camps all over the NFL are opening today. And so let's look at some of the other quarterback battles because there are some interesting ones. Dan, who's going to win the starting quarterback job in New Orleans, Jameis or Taysom Hill?
Yeah, Jameis Winston is going to be their starting quarterback, but I honestly believe it's a tough evaluation now with the news of Michael Thomas. He's going to miss some time at the start of this season. I think Taysom Hill is probably going to have to play some receiver just out of necessity. Their most experienced guy is Tre'Quan Smith outside of Alvin Kamara when it comes to skill position guys. It's a tough evaluation, but Jameis Winston, given what happened to Michael Thomas, is going to be their starting quarterback. I expect Taysom Hill to play some receiver.
Mike T, Chicago, who wins the starting quarterback job there, Dalton or Fields?
It has to be Justin Fields. He's just too talented. We know what Andy Dalton is. Andy Dalton is a middle-of-the-road average starter at best. Justin Fields has enormous potential, both with his arm and his legs. I know what their head coach said, but at the end of the day, I think there's too much of a talent gap, and pretty soon Justin Fields should win that job. I would think it's by the end of the preseason.
All right, another rookie situation here. Dan, the Patriots quarterback job, Cam Newton or Mac Jones, who wins that?
Yeah, Mac Jones. This offense for New England is going to be one, run-oriented, and then two, great on third down, efficiency on third down. That'll be a Mac Jones strength. Now, I do see them taking a package for Cam Newton and having him be a big part of their offense. Situational stuff. Third downs, we can utilize quarterback run 11-on-11 football. Red zone 11-on-11 football. Also with the ability that he can still throw the ball, Cam Newton. But Mac Jones is going to be their starting quarterback.
All right, that's two rookies. Can I hear three? Mike, we go back to San Francisco. Trey Lance, Jimmy G. Who wins that job?
Yeah, it stops at two, Green. It's Jimmy G. 24-8 as a starter. If he's healthy and Nick Bosa and those other defensive players come back healthy, San Francisco can have a deep run in the playoffs. So for Jimmy G, it's never about his ability. It's about his health and durability. I expect him to be the starter on opening day.
Okay, so those are some of the battles that we have our eyes on. Much more football as the conversation continues today. But then let me get you to the superstar of the night, the global superstar of the night. It was showtime. Shohei Ohtani on the mound for the Angels hosting the Rockies in the very first batter of the game. It's Ohtani facing Raimel Tapia. And that was just a sign of things to come. He got him swinging, bottom of one now. Ohtani at the plate, a runner is at second, and that is a base hit. David Fletcher will score, so Ohtani getting it done in every conceivable way, driving in the run. The very next batter with Ohtani at first. He's stolen 42 bases in his career, but none as a pitcher. Scratch that. Now he has. He's safe at second, so he's making an impact on the bases as well. And then two pitches later, Jared Walsh at the plate. And that's a base hit. Ohtani will score from second. He's the fourth pitcher in the last 30 years with a hit, a run, an RBI, and a stolen base, all in the same inning. Top of five. Angels still up 2-0. Ohtani still on the mound. He's facing Dom Nunez. And that one is gone. A solo shot. Just the seventh home run Ohtani has given up all season long. So the lead is cut in half. Top of seven. Still 2-1. In favor of the Angels and Ohtani facing Nunez again with a 1-2 count. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I don't think so. That's a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Ohtani, seven innings, one run, five strikeouts. Angels go on to win it by a score of 6-2. The 5Ks last night give him an even 100 for the season. Plus his 35 home runs as a batter, most all time by a pitcher who also had 100 strikeouts pitching, and almost by a wide margin. You see it down there, Wes Ferrell had the previous record in 1931 with 9. All right, as we continue, the big move is on. We'll tell you why yesterday might just have been the most important day in the history of college football. That is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Reunited, and it feels so good. There's one perfect fit, and sugar, this one is it.
All right, a little peaches and herb to get us ready for college football. And this, it is official. Oklahoma and Texas notified the Big 12 yesterday they will not be renewing their media rights after they expire, which is not until 2025. This, of course, a critical first step in what is expected now to be the departure of OU and Texas from the Big 12. And those two schools have won each of the last 11 conference championships in football. They've combined to win 14 of the 19 in the history of the conference. If they move over to the SEC, then five of the top seven teams in ESPN's preseason rankings would be in that conference in the SEC. And so Heather and Paul join us now here, Heather Dinich and Paul Feinbaum. Heather, now that they have notified the Big 12, as you told us yesterday, was a formality, they certainly would. Now what happens next?
So the next formal step in the process is Oklahoma and Texas presidents have to formally notify the SEC that they would like to join. Sources have speculated that that could come as early as today. I have also confirmed that the SEC presidents and chancellors are going to have a meeting on Thursday. It's possible they could vote on this. They need 11 of 14 votes in order to extend an invitation formally to Oklahoma and Texas. But whether or not they actually vote Thursday depends on the timing of when they get the formal notice from OU and Texas saying, let us in.
All right, so let's be very clear for everyone across the country who's not aware. The SEC, they've got presidents and chancellors. They have a commissioner, but the most powerful person in that conference is Paul Feinbaum. So, Paul, I will ask the question directly to you. Do you want Texas and Oklahoma?
If I could speak for everyone, absolutely. And Greeny, because it's a morning television show on a family network, I'm choosing my words very, very carefully because this is the slam dunk of the new millennium. You've already described how important those two schools are. And you get into the SEC with the Alabamas and the Floridas and the Georgias and the LSU, Texas and Oklahoma are going to fit in quite well. Now, I don't know about the middle to the bottom of the league, but that's not really the concern right now. Everything in college football is geared toward now and the future and television rights and how much money you can bring in. And you have just added two blue chip stocks. I'm talking about upper echelon, Goldman Sachs all the way.
Absolutely. Fortune 500 brands that you're bringing into what is already the dominant conference, particularly in the football piece of this. So, Heather, a lot of people will look at this and they'll say, well, this is just the beginning of what is going to be a complete seismic shift. I described it as possibly the most important day in the history of college football because it feels like this is just the beginning of what is going to be a power grab. How would you expect this to go from here, assuming Texas and Oklahoma do wind up in the SEC?
Well, the question then becomes, does the Big 12 dissolve as many think it will? In the conference, they obviously want to keep it going. And who do they grab? I can tell you last week they talked on a shallow surface of what do we do if Oklahoma, Texas leave? And they talked about Cincinnati, Houston, BYU. They're all great programs, but none that obviously bring the value of Oklahoma and Texas and those brand names, right? So you've already got schools like West Virginia saying, hey, can we get to the ACC? It depends on if that's reciprocated. Probably not. But absolutely, this is going to be a snowball effect, Greeny. Not even 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I've heard all kinds of speculation, including the possibility one day down the road of a 32-team NFL-lite type conference. So, nothing would surprise me down the road. This is only the tip of the iceberg.
Wow. Paul, your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, Heather's right. And if you're a middle of the roader in college football, you're in deep, deep trouble. This is all about the best. And Greeny, why not? How many times have we had conversations about, trying to prop up schools when they really don't belong? And this is all going contemporaneous to the new 12-team CFP. So it's perfect timing. Guess who's in the middle of both of them? Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC. And quite frankly, most of college football is going to be looking at the SEC's backside right now. I don't see a deal out there. Notre Dame's the only chip on the board that can even move the needle. And Notre Dame has already expressed its disinterest in joining a conference. Nobody else matters right now, Greeny.
Yeah, it is a fascinating It's just a fascinating situation from top to bottom. You are going to see these teams sort of racing to try and make sure they find homes if they don't currently have them. And, of course, Heather and Paul will be there to document all of it. Guys, thank you for getting up here. It's an incredibly important little juncture. In the meantime, let me run the bases through the action in Major League Baseball last night. In Philly, it was late-game heroics by that man, Andrew McCutchen. Philly's down two in the bottom of the ninth. Bam, a three-run shot, giving his team a walk-off win, 6-5 over the Nats. Meanwhile, in Chicago, Javi Baez pinch hitting a bases-loaded single in the bottom of the ninth, giving the Cubs a 6-5 win over the Reds. And don't you think Baez let him know about it? Take a look here as he is staring all the way down to first base. His name, of course, heavily bandied about right now in trade conversations. And then, lastly, the Red Sox did it again. Alex Verdugo hit a two-run shot in the eighth. The division-leading Red Sox rallied late for a second straight game, beating Toronto 5-4. It's the Red Sox' 33rd comeback win this season. That's the most in the majors. And if you're looking for baseball, we've got game two of a three-game set between the Yankees and Rays tomorrow night, 7 Eastern, right here on ESPN and on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay after having reached an agreement on his future with the Packers. Does that mean everything is fine? Shefty has all your answers live next. Don't miss it. Get up on ESPN. Make a supersonic man out of you.